Change comes in stages. First, there's a thought, some will, and then slowly it begins to somehow manifest in the real or material world. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen, even if you say it doesn't happen by magic, that just goes to show that you're missing that there's still a lag time between the moment that the particular goal is chosen and when that goal happens. Now, the I Ching is a process of looking at that change over time and how it occurs and what different steps it may involve. But nonetheless, change occurs through time for all human beings. Now, at a certain point, all that goes on beneath the surface will rise and bubble to the surface. And we have a name for that. We call it an MMP, which is a material manifestation point. The point at which you move from you had an idea to that idea begins to manifest itself, or even comes close to completing itself. We would know better where we're going if we would pay attention to where we are, and perhaps even a little bit of attention to where we've come from. Subsequently, our meditation today. What were you thinking when you joined this group of people? Why did you do it? What was interesting? What were you? There was something you were trying to create, some feelings, some mood, some sense of things, or maybe a vision. For some of us, it may have been a vision of how the world could or should be. So I wanted you to, for a moment, think back on that. Because one of the most important parts of that change is to have some sense of what it is that you're trying to create. It doesn't mean that if you have an idea of building a car in the 17 or let's say 1800s, that you would have any idea what a carburetor is or what an alternator is. And quite frankly, to this day, many of us have no idea what that is anyway. But we do know what a car is and we know how it works. We do know what a bicycle is and how that works. And each one of those things began with a thought. We're at a point right now where we're about to tip into a material manifestation, and you can feel that. Some of the things that we selected, some of the ways that we wanted to develop this world, some of our vision of what the world could really be like if we did it a little bit differently. In fact, if we did it a little more our way. Now, I'm going to make this complicated for just a brief moment by saying that we are at the threshold of a moment that was actually predicted some 2 millennia ago by a fellow named John, who some people think was the Apostle John, but there's a lot of conflict and disagreement about that, but we call him at least John of Patmos, which is an island off Greece. Now, John had a very colorful vision. I recommend it. It's really colorful. It's really stuff for modern CGI to take on at some point. There are dragons in it, and we know CGI can do that now. There are beasts with many heads and all this kind of stuff. But all of that, really, don't really expect a dragon, okay? When you read old English literature and they talk about the Dragon of the North, they're really talking about some earl or duke who lived up that way and was marauding and so forth. They don't really mean dragons, by the way. The prediction that I'm identifying specifically was one of a character in that story who is also described as a character. The Antichrist was said to rise at a particular time and would have dominion for X number of days. And I should have written this down because it's really quite remarkable how accurately this is seeming to turn out. Might be off by a week or three or something like that, but we're definitely going through it. And that character was supposed to, the power of that character was supposed to break X number of days from when they came into power. Now, my wife, Michelle, having heard me mention this business of the Antichrist and so forth for any number of times, thought she would go and look it up. So she does a thing. She goes and finds a Bible, I think, in her Kindle or the internet or someplace like that. And she looks it up and finds out that the number of days, and she thinks that if she starts with Trump's inauguration, if she counts it forward, she might find out if what I'm speculating has any merit or value to it at all. And as it turns out, the exact calculation of that date of the break in the power of the Antichrist happens tomorrow, the 20th of July. Now, I don't think it's literally necessarily that precise. It may have already, we begin to see some real crumbling in that. But wow, that's not bad shooting from 2,000 years away. There are other signs. The over-the-road community is what truckers call themselves. Truckers are part of a community of transportation. Transportation is a giant part of commerce, let alone private life in the United States. It takes up approximately one-third of all employment, of all job types in this United States, has to do with transportation in general and commerce, movement of commerce in particular or in general. Now, that community is facing absolute extinction in not very long. I think this is another sign. That would put something that would put out of work one-third of our population. Weather forecasting was the idea that you could forecast weather and identify what would be happening where on the planet with any degree of precision was actually first imagined in 1904 by a Norwegian fellow who's name escapes me at the moment, but he went about the process of attempting to put together the calculations to figure out how we might determine where and what kind of weather might hit. In between that time and now, a lot of different ideas. People have come up with a lot of different ideas about how to do that. Now, one of those was to put 64,000 people in the same space with moderators at regular intervals who would calculate mathematically the movement of weather. By the way, theoretically, this would work, but somehow we think it might be a little bit tricky to find 64,000 people to gather in an area to do mathematical calculations about this. But from 1904 to today, before Hurricane Sandy hit New York, they knew it was going to happen 8 days out. 8 days may not sound like much, but 8 days is a remarkable amount of time, because there was nothing in the weather at the time that we could see that would show this hurricane to be barreling in. But now weather forecasting is so accurate. And so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not the, probable. The probability of our predictions are very, very high. Now, that sounds like a very good thing. That one third of the population of the country, or of the working population of the country, will be out of work in a few years is not such a good problem. It's not such a good sign, you might say. But that we can predict the weather might be a good sign. And this is something that has been carried on at an international level with international cooperation now for decades. It's being overtaken now by commercial, private enterprise, like so many things that is being changed into a private enterprise. So this almost miraculous state of working with the forces of nature at an international cooperative level may be to some extent usurped by private concerns, which in turn will obviously at some point choose to make it an extremely profitable venture and sell that information to other private concerns for their own reasons. These are two little tiny tips of icebergs that show. But I say that if we can pay enough, close enough attention to the present and what we sought in the past, and where we might go from here, I guess what I'm proposing to you is that we too might join in this game of not only predicting, but creating the future. Now, this is difficult for me to pull together right now because it is in fact the conversation that I began having with you in November of 2015. And I really haven't veered from this conversation at all this time. It pretty much remains the same. We're currently in a great transition. You can feel it. The blood of the martyrs dampens our own clothing at this point. And by the martyrs, I mean currently, the current martyrs being those who are the children of nonviolent protest, of nonviolent recreation of the world and our society. And part of the deal with that is that, as we've seen at pretty much any point in time, those nonviolent warriors become martyrs at a point. And at some point, the blood of the martyrs incites people and brings them into a sharp and clear focus about what's not okay and what must become. You, my friends, have been born in interesting times. This is not even, we had a ramp up with World Wars I and II and every one of the wars and conflicts that has happened since that time and continues to this day. The Horseman of War is very active. The Horseman of Plague is very active. The Horseman of Death is very active right now. All of these things indicate a moment of great change. I do not think we need to look around for someone riding a horse. I'll give you one good reason why not to look for someone on a horse. Does anybody know what the pale horse looks like? Anybody? If you do, you can take yourself off mute for a moment and tell us. Okay. The red horse is the horseman of war. There's a black horse, that's the one of plague. The white horse is the horseman of death. Well, what's the pale horse? We've got a red horse, a white horse, and a black horse. What's the other one? It's green. The pale horse is green. Has anyone here ever seen a pale green horse? I mean, that's a real horse? Okay, so obviously these are metaphors. But that's the pale horse. These are active right now. This is a way of telling us that if we can pay attention to our archetypal models that have been handed down, this particular model, and believe me, the world is full of these models. Hindus have models for this as well. We are currently in interesting times. Now, what I want to suggest to you at this point is that as we move through this difficult portion of it, and it will be a mess for a while, and we know that, there are those who are actively working to start race wars, and we really need to be clever enough to not to be part of that. There are those who are tampering with the economy in the most heinous ways. But there are suggestions at this point for what we can do. So one, keep your hands on the reins right now. Hold steady. You know what needs to be done at this time. The voting for primaries did not work very well. Get busy. This is something that we can help with and do. And we had better have a better turnout this next time, because there's no reason. As I said last time, there was plenty of reason to believe that we might not win. This time I say to you, there is no good reason for us not to. So buck up. And number two, old martial arts adage, strike through the target. Reach through beyond the point that you want to make the impact or connection. And what that means is if you're breaking boards and you're doing karate and you want to break through the boards, the way you do that, the trick of mind to that is to reach through the boards, not try to strike the board, because if you try to strike the board, you lose the energy at the moment of the strike. But if you're reaching through the board, your energy is building even as you go through the board. But what does that look like for us and what we're doing right now? What it looks like is, what are you trying to create? What is your actual vision of when you've done this, when what you're seeking, when all the work we're doing to get this resistance to a peaceful and you know, a peaceful and harmonious world where we're in tune with nature instead of going head to head with her all the time, what will it look like? It's quite common for us to forget, for human beings to forget what their vision is and to get caught in the battle at the moment, because you have to be paying attention to the battle at the moment. That's true. But what got Viktor Frankl, by the way, a Jew during World War II who was in the concentration camps, who made it through there, and I think he eventually ended up being a member of the UU Church of Berkeley, First Church Berkeley up the hill in Kensington. And he, and as many of the Holocaust survivors attest, continued to see himself on the other side of the situation and debacle he found himself in. And that's how he got there, by not forgetting that what we're trying to do is not the same thing as what we are doing in the present to create that. So, those of you in the T3 group are already working on this. But everyone else, get your eyes back on the prize. What is it you're trying to create? What will it really look like when it's done? Some of you think about details of that. But certainly, at the very least, articulate to yourself and to those here and around you what world you want to see on the other side of this. Now, come the fall, I think in the fall, it might take until early winter or something like this, but I think this fall, I'm going to return to that first service that I did with you, and I'm going to do it again, because that's what it was about. It was about creating a vision of where we want to go. It's important to do that right now, and we'll talk about that a little more next month. So, blessed be to all of you. I hope you're not bored with this, and it gives you something to think about and to work on and to help us get through this.